right, guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I just gotta catch this. Yeah, okay. We're here with Pokemon Cameron and Trainer Dodd, right?
All I do is eat the raspberries.
Bulbasaur.
You're Bulbasaur now?
Yeah.
So, if you guys haven't guessed, this episode is all about Pokemon Go. I'm actually playing it right now. That's
yeah,
fake distracted there. That wasn't fake. I actually just caught a Weedle. So, anyway, anyone else been playing this a little bit too fucking much?
Okay, I've been compelled to.
So, I've got a story about this. Blair, my wife, has become a bigger Pokemon trainer than I've become. She has it down to a system. In one of the towns that I live nearby, there's a stretch of road called Broadway. Ooh, an Abra. And she has it down to where
this is gonna be the whole episode.
She can hit every single Poke stop if she drives at this exact place in the middle of the road, this exact speed, and still do everything safe to not get busted by the cops. And she has it to the point where she'll catch most creatures on the first try. She's evolved several of my super high-level Pokemon. She actually evolved me a Pidgeot yesterday, which I thought was pretty boss of her. But, yeah, she's got it down to a science. Like, she'll go to a different town to go take care of business errands for us, like go pay a bill or something. She'll take my phone purposefully so she can hit Pokestops and catch stuff for me.
So you have a surrogate Pokemon trainer.
I really do. I have my... She's like my dark apprentice. It's kind of creepy, actually. I mean, right now, I'm sitting at level 15. I think for my Pokedex, I've seen something like 57 Pokemon. I've caught 56 of them. The only one that got away was a friggin' seal, of all things. And having a pretty good time. And it's good because Blair typically goes out and gets me Pokeballs, so I don't have to spend money. Which I've actually only spent $20 on this game so far. And I did that.
Spent money on it?
Well, I had to buy more storage. I had to buy more storage for items and stuff.
All you gotta do is take out gyms. But yeah, speaking of the money aspect.
My Pokemon are pussies because I can only really play from my bedroom. Because I don't get out much outside of her. So I don't get a chance to go out and cast exotics and evolve everything. Now I've got a strategy down to do that. But still, my wife is my surrogate Pokemon trainer. And I couldn't be a happier husband, truth be told. My wife, who grew up Pokemon-less, is now she's like, what the hell's a Clefairy? You don't have it. Let's catch it.
So, I love it. I just caught another Pidgey. So let's rewind here. For those of you that are apparently living under a rock, Pokemon Go is a mobile video game based on the Pokemon series. And when you first pick it up, if you know anything about Pokemon, at first you're going to think this game is very lackluster and all it is throwing Pokeballs at Pidgeys. Pretty much nothing to it. Until you get about an hour into it and start finding out all the little details. Then it's very much in-depth like most.
And then you start catching Rattatas.
Yes.
And
then a Caterpie. And then you might find a Pikachu. And someone will shoot you because you found it and they didn't.
And somebody will discover your body and it'll be on the news.
So, the way the game works is it basically takes over your GPS and there's Pokemon nests all around. And basically, you just gotta walk around and find Pokemon. Specific things will spawn in certain locations. It apparently rotates. As of the most recent update, people found out that the nests are now rotating. So you don't have to, travel to Japan to find something, except for the region-locked Pokemon. Apparently, Farfetch'd is only in Asia. I think we get Tauros over here, North America, and... You're freaking out over there, like, I want a Farfetch'd!
This is a ripoff!
So, yeah, all the Pokemon can technically be caught in your own town. They will eventually all rotate, but the region locked one. And the advanced mechanics of the game, other than catching Pokemon, you go to Pokestops, which I don't know about you guys, but from my experience, it seems to be government buildings, tourist attractions such as fountains, or
I've got a church one, which is like just outside of my range, but yeah.
I've got like three or four in like a cemetery around my house. Like, noticed it when I was going down the road, and I was like, do I really go in here just to get some damn Pokeballs? Do I really do this? It's getting a little dark. Now it's a little rainy, a little windy, a little spooky. But went in, got all the Pokestops, and I got out in about a millisecond, so.
About a millisecond. You just ran in, ran the fuck out.
Yeah, not trying to get haunted, fellas.
Wait, did you catch any ghost Pokemon?
I don't want to talk about it.
Dodo in a cemetery. But no Ghastly. I was actually genuinely surprised, actually.
Kind of interesting. Like, they do have the spawns and everything in certain locations, but they didn't actually go as far as ghost Pokemon in a cemetery. I know that if you're near bodies of water, you can get water Pokemon.
Yeah, it's weird, especially where I live. I live near a remarkably small creek, and I've caught Tentacruels, I've caught Cloysters, Psyducks, all sorts of other really weird water Pokemon. The water there is no deeper than your ankle, yet it somehow counts. I'm actually genuinely surprised.
It's definitely not a river there. That's definitely freak, if anything. Maybe a puddle.
Yeah, it's basically a puddle, yet the GPS technology recognizes that. That's astounding.
Scary. From everything that I've read about that, actually, the GPS and the maps and everything actually are stemmed from Google Maps, so that's why it's apparently so good. Literally just ripped the API from that. And it's interesting to me is that if you go to the beach, you'll get fire Pokemon because the beach is hot with the sand, and you get water Pokemon because you're on water, so it's like fire and water Pokemon at the same location. Doesn't really mix in my brain. I think they'd be killing each other, but...
Well, it's weird. I actually went to a fairly popular beach near where I live called Wasaga Beach. Didn't get anything on the beach except a crapload of Jinx. But nothing else. Yeah, it's so strange. I also find... This I thought was actually particularly funny. We were walking through a mall last week. The mall was nothing but drowsies.
Barry? Because we got those things everywhere.
Yeah. It was at the George Mall. It was nothing but drowsies. It was really weird.
I think it would make more sense if there were Jinxes at the mall because, like, a grand majority of the people that are there kind of look like her.
It's a very interesting game because the core mechanic is catching Pokemon, trying to collect them all, whatever, catch them all. But then the secondary mechanics that make it a lot more fun on the competitive side is these locations, some of them are Pokestops and some of them are actually gyms. So, like, the church in Shelburne is a Pokestop, the church near me is actually a gym. And there's three teams. When you hit level 5, you get to choose a team. You can't change unless by illegitimate means. So when you hit level 5, you're introduced to three team leaders, and it's three colors, and they each have their own saying. So based on your personality, your favorite color type, what team your friend has chosen, you will inevitably choose one of these three teams and be locked in for the span of the game. There are so many studies about people's psychology based on this choice, just from Pokemon Go.
Really?
The game theorists actually... MatPat, he did an entire episode on it, and people are always going on how Team Mystic, which is the blue team, and Team Valor are, like, the most picked. And Team Instinct is, the percentages as of his episode that I watched the other day, definitely a great watch. I recommend checking it out. It was, like, 43% go Team Mystic as blue. It was, like, 30 or so percent as Valor, which is the red team, and then like a measly 24 as Team Instinct. And he broke down the science as to why that is, because like it's not a it doesn't come down to being just 30% on each, because there's three teams, right? You think that's how it would roll, but it comes down to color choice, because he did a poll, and scientists try to get like 1,000 people for, and that's hard to do. He did a poll about Pokemon Go and got 10,000 people to do the poll in like within a week span. So that's how popular this game is. And his results basically showed that there was a large number of people that just picked based on color. There was a large percent that picked because they were bandwagoning, basically. The theory of somebody, so in competitive video gaming, it'd be like, you have a choice between two teams. The one team is winning, and you know that you will win if you're on there, you want to be seen on the winning team. So you just choose that team. So there, he just had this huge list of different reasons and had the science behind it and everything as to why Team Mystic is the most popular. Team Valor is in second, and Instinct, which is actually the one I'm on, is in last for choice.
I picked Team Mystic. What about you, Cameron?
I am family with Jamie, and I picked Instinct. Only because my brother told me to. He was just like, yeah, I'm on that team, and you can help me get gyms, so like, just pick that team. And I was like, okay. And I like Zapdos.
I picked mine because it looked cool, and Articuno's badass.
So when I picked Instinct, what I actually did is I got it before Tiffany, right? So I read each of their things, and Valor was basically seemed like they were power-hungry douchebags. I'm like, Tiffany's not going to like that. I probably would have picked that if it were her. And the blue one was like, these guys are all about science and super nerdism, and Articuno is just going to get annihilated. So I was like, Zapdos beats both of the other two, so if you're choosing a team and you get that legendary down the road, I want Zapdos. So I kind of went with him because the leader of that also is just super chill and is like, whatever, we're having fun. So I figured Tiffany would like that the most, so I picked that, and then all my friends slowly lined up and were like, which team did you pick? I want the same team, so we, like Cameron, we can take gyms together. Which, as you were saying earlier, Dodd, you don't have very strong Pokemon, but you don't need very strong Pokemon. So when you go to take a gym, things are based on combat power, or CP. So you can get, like, a Dragon Knight that's, like, 2,000 combat. That's really fucking strong. Sucks to fight one of those. But if you have type advantage, and you get to come in with 6 Pokemon versus their 1. So not only that, but say me and Cameron go to a gym, and it's taken over by Dodd. He has a super strong Pokemon in there. We both get to attack that Pokemon at the same time with 6 of mine and 6 of his. We get 12 Pokemon.
Like gang beating him to death.
Yeah, you literally are just gang beating the guy. And it's not limited to 2 people either. Like, you could take a squad of people, which I've actually seen. Like, this game is so popular that when you walk down the street, you can just tell people playing this game. You go
if
to
I
a
get
Pokestop,
serious? I'd be making, like, team jerseys.
Well, it's funny. I actually have a team
in Barry, there is.
On the back of my car. And I've had people yell at me, like, Team Mystic! So,
oh,
yeah.
You got one of those decals?
Yeah. They're friggin' amazing looking, too.
It's a really nice design on the 3 team symbols. Yep. In Barry, at the, they're calling it the hub, because it's where 4 Pokestops overlap. So that's where everybody basically goes and hangs out. And there's this one couple that they're making decals for phones, your car, all kinds of stuff. And they're just selling them there with their daughter. And people are just buying that shit up like crazy. And it's just crazy how, over the last like 6 years of gaming, I've maybe talked to like 10 people publicly about playing a game or something, or like even just talk to people in public about something random. I don't just walk up to someone and be like, hey, how are you doing? But in the like 2 weeks I've been playing this game, I have talked to probably 100 or more random strangers just about random stuff involving this game. Like, the social aspect of this game is insane. Like, you just walk down the street and you're like, you hear somebody like flicking their phone and you're just like, hey, you playing Pokemon Go? And they're like, yeah! And then they just start talking to you.
My brother's made friends that way. Like, he'll go to downtown Oakville where I live, and he'll just start rallying up people that are on the same team. They took the entire space of downtown Oakville, all the gyms that are there, just with those, like, five people. It was hilarious.
I cannot wait to see what's going to happen with Pokemon Go and a PAX.
That'd be cool.
It's going to be so bad. Like, and this is going to be the first year with it. So, yeah, PAX Prime in just a few weeks is going to be Pokemon Central. And with the Pokemon Go little appy thing, the little device coming out in about a month, it's going to be an exciting time to be a Pokemon trainer. In fact, I'm actually getting a skin for mine so it identifies me as Team Mystic.
Nice.
Yeah. See,
and the genius thing about this as well is as soon as this starts to die down and people are like, okay, I've caught all the Pokemon or whatever, like the general populace, I know there's got a couple people that have told me they've already caught every Pokemon except the region lock ones. And I'm like, you are playing this way too much. But once the general populace kind of gets... You what?
I've had Blair steal my phone from me.
Oh.
Like, ha, mine now. Pokeballs for life.
So, the thing is when we, as the general populace, have caught all the Pokemon, they're just going to release the next set just like the games. It'll be the silver and gold Pokemon will come out. Like, they literally have probably 3 or 4 years worth of content that they can just keep releasing and keep people hooked on this.
But wait, there's more.
Pretty much. The only thing that I don't like about this game is with all of the good things that it does, so it's getting people out and about, they're actually, like, random nerds are coming out and actually being sociable, they're exercising, there's so many people that are getting so much exercise from this. Because
it's to exercise. I'm hoping this will get me up and down the stairs a little bit more often, because I'm basically a homebody right now. But me and Blair will go out once or twice a week. And sure, it's little, but it's something for me. I'm hoping that eventually Pokemon Go will rebuild the strength in my knees. So this will help me overcome my physical handicap. So hopefully I can be that success story that comes out of Pokemon Go. Which, you know, it's really funny. There's this wonderful meme I saw on Facebook probably about a week ago. And it was like, people complain about kids going outside, yet we get them outside and they complain about us doing something else now. Or it's something like, what was it? There's another political one. It was something like, Michelle Obama tried for 8 years to get kids to go outside and do physical activities. Pokemon Go did it in 2 weeks. Which is kind
it's
of
sad, but it's true.
Well, yeah, like, can you imagine if the government were to team up with Niantic and Nintendo to do something with this? In fact, so many businesses are taking advantage of this. Like, there's one, I saw one thing once again on Facebook where if you come in and show your trainer level, you can get free pizza. There's another one, a library where if you do so much, let's say like you show your trainer level, but if you check out a book and can give like a 15-second oral report on it, they'll give you a gym badge. Like they actually have, they're actually 3D printing gym badges. So yeah, like, there's so many really opening up.
A lot of really cool things that people are doing based on this game, and it's all just like community building. It's getting people out there, getting exercise. It's doing a lot of good, but on the there's always flip side of the coin, there's also a lot of bad coming from it. Mostly the media is going to actually talk about the bad, so we have to talk about it, obviously. So one of the big problems with Pokemon Go is it is a mobile app, which means you can have it when you're in your vehicle. And you can just imagine all the things that have caused with that. There was an 11-car pileup caused by a guy slamming on his brakes trying to catch a Pikachu on a major highway. And
yeah, that's just...
It's sad that I believe that, because it's like, I can just see how addicted people can get to this kind of a game.
Well, it's kind of like what I'm saying with Blair. She has a technique down pat for doing it in the car. Now, I trust her as a safe driver. I genuinely do. She'll pull over to do certain things. But I've seen other drivers, very much like you, Jamie, that'll just slam on the brakes.
I didn't say I slammed on the brakes. No.
I'm saying like you said, people will slam on the brakes and do that thing. I've been guilty of it.
See, I think it takes just a little bit of common sense, especially with this game, to be like, so, like, I'll admit, I play it in the car, but when I see something I want to catch, you can click it and you can keep driving. You can pull over, you can go all the way home. And that Pokemon will still be sitting there ready to throw the Pokeball at it and catch. Doesn't matter the distance you go. The only thing that, you know, you do have to actually pay attention to is a Pokemon stop. When you're going past a Pokemon stop, you can click it real quick and you can spin it. And that's all you gotta do. You can just set your phone back down. In all reality, I shouldn't even be doing that. It's really unsafe, technically, to be doing stuff like that. But I've done that kind of stuff with just texting. Honestly, texting is worse than that. Like, I'll sit there and text out like a full paragraph while I'm driving. That breaks my concentration on driving a heck of a lot more than clicking a Pokestop, spinning it, and then looking back at what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's just a quick flick of the wrist. It isn't something that, like, would distract you for a long period of time, like sending out a drawn-out text would. But regardless, it's still really dangerous. Like, I personally never, ever, ever touch it when I'm in the car. And, in fact, I don't even really touch it all that often. I don't play Pokemon Go, like, crazily like a lot of people do. But when I do, I'm usually just out on my longboard, cruising around, picking up stuff. You know, I like the exercise aspect of it as well.
Well, and that's the other part of it. So, other than catching Pokemon and doing gyms, you actually get Pokemon eggs, which... they hatch based on how far you, quote-unquote, walked. So, yeah, you can abuse it when you use longboards or whatever, but you're still getting exercise.
Right.
So, it just everything about this game, whenever I first opened it up and looked at all the different functions, it basically was like, this is an exercise app with a Pokemon skin, which is fantastic.
And they have those guys on lockdown, eh? The guys who thought, oh, yeah, you know what I'll do? I'll just go around and drive, you know, hatch my eggs, you know, like 5 kilometers isn't that much in a car. No, you have to be driving under a speed of around 40, isn't it, right?
I think it's under 30, actually.
It's
30?
Was it 20?
Yeah.
20? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I think they lowered it a couple times, and it's one of those things of, if you're driving that slowly, you're probably going to get pulled over for dangerous driving under the speed.
Unless you're in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Looking like a damn crazy person doing donuts.
Now, I was kind of like you on the fact that I didn't play this game very much, because at first it was just like, okay, I walked past a Pokestop, and the nearest Pokestop for me is the park, which is just down the road, probably 5-minute walk. So I'd go there every now and then, just because I wanted to know what the game was about. So at first it was like, okay, I got a couple Pokeballs here, I level up, I'm getting lots of Pokeballs. But now that I've gotten high level, I need lots of Pokeballs. That really sucks, because you can only get them every 5 minutes for Pokestop. Either encouraged to go downtown and hit all the Pokestops, or buy them. I haven't bought any.
They refresh every 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, they do. See, I didn't get super into it until I went to Shelburne, where a buddy of mine lives right by the intersection. I don't know if you've seen it, Dodd. The town hall.
Downtown, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the town hall, the old train station monument, the like war memorial. So there's like 3 Pokestops that overlap. And whenever I came over, I was taking care of my mom. She had some hospital stuff that she was doing, and she just needed somebody there. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go up there with my buddy, because he lives there. He literally has one of those Pokestops from his room. He can spin it. So I was like, okay, you know, whatever. It's just Pokemon Go. I'm not super excited. But then we sat there, and this was like Friday night on that long weekend, and somebody was just popping lures on all three Pokestops. For those that don't know, and living under a rock again, a Pokelure basically brings more wild Pokemon to a Pokestop so that you can catch stuff. And when they overlap their effect, when there's three of them, basically it's just nonstop Pokemon. And because there's three Pokestops, you can get Pokeballs. So we literally spent 4 hours this guy luring, which means he spent somewhere around $80, I think. $50, it's quite a bit. On just getting more Pokemon. And we got to leech off of it because this random dude was doing it. We could see him parked in his car.
Like, if I was some guy sitting there just, like, spamming lures, and I saw, like, 2-3 people coming over and just, like, leeching off of my shit, I'd get so pissed. I'd, like, drive around and be like, hey, get the fuck out of here, okay? I paid for these, all right? Get out of here.
I'm like, you know what? If you're going to leech off my lures, at least buy me a coffee.
Yeah, at least. Like, I can't come out of this scot-free. Like, you gotta be doing something for me.
The funny thing was, is we were like, okay, we should pop some lures when the next ones come down, but he was literally popping a new lure as soon as it went down. Like, he had it, like, timed on a timer or something. So we couldn't even, like, try to help him out. So he was doing all three of them over and over for 4 hours, and we're like, well, if you're gonna keep doing it and not let us pop any, then we're gonna leech off of it.
That's some dedication.
Like, oh, yeah, and my buddy, he got, like, because you can see people's usernames on when they pop a lure, so it's like, hey, I did it kind of thing. You can also see your username on your Pokemon that are in the gyms. A friend told me the next day that he found that guy with, like, 2,000-plus combat power Pokemon controlling, like, every gym. Like, the guy had just gone mad and... He definitely is a Pokemon master or something by now.
If he's the guy that I think he is, he probably controls the Super Burger Gym, which has a retarded level Dragonite in there.
Yeah, I think it's he does have like a Dragonite.
4,000 CP.
And he's part of the fictional Elite Four.
Apparently. So, but yeah, that's kind of when I got really into the game, because I got so much of the game. Like, I caught like over 200 Pokemon that night. I went from level 9 to level 16 in one sitting by doing the whole evolve trick where you take as many candies as you can, and then you evolve like 60 Pokemon with a rare candy or whatever, which gets double XP. Great trick for anybody that hasn't done that yet. You just level like mad, and that just big burst of playing that game really got me into it. And then when I came back home, I've got that one Pokestop over there that I gotta walk 5 minutes to. And I'm just like, I'm having one of those, like, I want to play more, but I don't want to go downtown. It's like when you go to a convention, and then after the convention, you're just like, I really want more, but I don't want to have to travel to go to another convention. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So,
now,
yeah.
Not that Pokemon Go has been an entirely positive experience, though. There's been a lot of creepy shit come out of this. As Cameron hinted at earlier, people have found stuff by going off the beaten path. There's been a couple of dead bodies that have been found, which is really, really fucked up. There's been other ones. There was a gang in, I think, Missouri, I want to say, about a month ago, that was setting up lures at one particularly isolated Pokestop and was robbing people. This actually got caught on YouTube because it uploaded, as soon as the guy got his phone, it uploaded to like YouTube and the police caught the guy. But still, yeah, it was a group of 4 kids, the youngest being 16, that were stealing people's phones at like gunpoint.
I've heard about a lot of this, and anybody that's been like really bashing Pokemon Go, being like, oh yeah, like there's these robberies and this and that, and yes, with any kind of good, so the exercise and the community and all that, there's always going to be the bad.
Oh yeah, there's always going to be some scumbag.
The kind of counter argument to it, though, is if they're willing to set up a lure and rob somebody, they were going to rob someone anyway. They just used it as a tool. It's unfortunate that it's a really popular thing, but it would have happened anyway. If they're planning on robbing people, they just happen to use. Pokemon Go wasn't here, they would have found another way to rob. You have ill intent, you're going to do it. So it's kind of like the whole media always blaming video games for being like, oh, Grand Theft Auto is the reason. Other kids. If they were really going to shoot somebody, they probably would have done it anyway, but you gave them an out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the same logic would apply if it's like somebody did a study and they found that like most serial killers drink a lot of milk. Milk isn't the reason for why they're serial killers. It's just something that they enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Like drinking milk. It's just like playing Pokemon Go. You know what I mean? Like, playing Pokemon Go doesn't make you like want to rob people or like make you a victim to robbery. It's just something that comes about as a result of all that stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, I never would have thought to use it, but hey. Something of other things. Niantic has also taken a little bit of heat for taking down some third-party apps that were tracking Pokemon where they were showing up, like the like PokeVision. Then there was the three-step glitch where it wasn't properly showing where Pokemon were supposed to be spawning and everything. So it's made Pokemon catching a lot harder for some people.
Well, I mean, it's less that it's made it harder. The three-step thing was basically a built-in system that there was supposed to be less steps based on how far away it was, so you could actually tell where they were. It just never really worked, so they removed it entirely, I guess, because they couldn't get it working.
They'll get it working eventually.
Yeah, and they'll put it back in. People were flipping out over that, but the thing is like, literally all they did was remove the three little steps. The system never truly worked, so it's not like they did anything. The whole PokeVision and all that, that just comes down to somebody was created an app that was abusing the system. They didn't cause it to become harder. They just stopped a third party from screwing over their game.
Although it is funny, though, how things have changed since the app has been updated. One thing I've noticed in the last 2 days, anyway, Pokemon are dicks now. They tend to get out of their Pokeballs a lot more often than what they
that
did.
Just comes with leveling up, I think.
Well, they've also said they've adjusted capture rates. So the Pokemon are literally getting harder to catch. And it's kind of a piss-off when a 10 CP Caterpie can fuck off on you. I mean, that's like getting kicked in the face by a puppy. I'm hoping Niantic will listen to the community, bring back the PokeVision and figure a way to make it work properly. I've even heard some really weird conspiracies about how Niantic, because they belong to Google, and it could be some massive spying program. Because Pokemon Go asks some pretty weird permissions of your phone, especially if you're using the augmented reality version of it. You could, in theory, your phone can be used to map places that it can't go, or sort of that normally it wouldn't be able to go. In fact, one of the conspiracy theories I heard says in China, where Pokemon Go hasn't launched yet, but when it does, wherever phones can't go, there's likely some kind of a military installation there. So that's kind of funny and kind of ingenious in a weird kind of way.
Leave it to you to find the weirdest conspiracies ever.
Well, think about it, too. If people are obsessively playing this, if you could bring your phone into a building, and let's say there happens to be a rare as fuck, I don't know, something in there, and it's a place you're not supposed to go, you're probably going to catch it anyway. Because you're not going to think.
There's a lot of news stories about people being arrested for climbing fences and stuff that they really shouldn't.
Well, there was a guy here where I'm from, Shelburne, people were breaking into this guy's impound yard to catch Pokemon. And there's been a lot, as you said, a lot of trespassing stories have come up. There's even people that have been severely hurt because they've ignored barriers. When a couple of kids fell off a cliff a few weeks ago, they weren't killed, but they were hurt pretty bad.
Like, I saw the story. It was pretty funny, actually. This guy says his life has been, like, completely ruined, and he has, like, no privacy whatsoever ever since Niantic had the bright idea to put a Pokestop or a gym in his house.
Yeah. And
like in or around his house. It's pretty crazy. Like, could you imagine that? Having people, like, walk up to your house all the time and just, like, swipe in and then leave and just, like, people, like, a continuous stream of people just coming in, looking at your house, all that sort of stuff. That would piss me off.
Well, supposedly there's an option where you can ask for Pokestops or gyms to be removed if they're inappropriate. And to kind of piggyback on that, Niantic or other organizations were asking, please don't go Poke hunting at Auschwitz. Because Auschwitz shows up as a Pokestop.
That's awful.
That's some all kinds of terrible. Now,
taste.
Part of me is curious. I wonder what spawns there.
Don, like, no, bro.
On the other hand, yeah, it's a little bit of poor taste. I mean, you don't want exactly to be catching Pikachus at Ground Zero at, like, Nagasaki or something, or Tiananmen Square. So they're hoping to reduce those. However, though, something else, I don't know whether this is true, per se, but a vlogger that I watch was playing Pokemon Go in a suburb of New York over the weekend, and he thinks the town shut down Pokemon Go for the weekend because it was working fine there during the week, and then it just stopped. So it's possible.
It could just be a server issue.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's just something about it, too. I'd be very curious to follow up and see if it's actually true. Because that's not the first time I've heard of towns petitioning the developer to please take this out of our town or please change XYZ.
I think an interesting inverse to that is, do you think people can request to have gyms or Pokestops where they specifically want them? So, for example, like, a business wants to attract more customers, and a bunch of trainers will come over because there's, like, lured Pokestops or, like, a gym there or something. And then while they're there, they're like, hey, I'm kind of thirsty. I could use a drink or something like that. Like, do you think people can request for there to be gyms or Pokestops at their business?
I absolutely do think so, because I know right now there's a thing going on in the West Edmonton Mall where if you can get all 20 Pokestops in the mall, take a picture and hashtag it with something, you can win, like, $1,000. So businesses are already starting to get hip to this.
When it first came out, there actually was an, I believe, on their website. I haven't seen it. I just heard about it. It's no longer up, but you could request Pokestops or gyms in specific areas. Like, if say it was a really rural area, you had a small town that had no, you basically, like, send them and be like, "Hey, we don't have any out here." Certain businesses ask for, probably don't assume to get one business.
Oh, yeah.
They have since taken that down, but I think that's due to server just being really trying to fix their server issues. Because, I mean, I think any business that does want heavy foot traffic, they would pay. It's an advertising fee, basically.
Oh, yeah. There's no way that Niantic would do that for free. Not a chance at hell. It'd be stupid not to. They're a business, man. They're trying to make money. Of course they're going to charge for that. I mean, I'd slap them across the face if they didn't, personally.
So, what is the weirdest Pokestop or gym that you guys have found? I'm going to start out here. I might just win because I haven't heard of anyone better. My neighborhood has one gym in it and one Pokestop. The Pokestop is at the park, which makes sense. The gym is the fire hydrant. It is the fire hydrant gym. I don't know how that happened, but yep, that's the weirdest gym or Pokestop I've ever seen.
Are you talking about the famous fire hydrant in Shelburne?
No, this isn't Barry.
I may have something a little weirder for you. For those of you Doctor Who fans, there's a wooden carved statue over by this apartment building here in town. It looks like the Weeping Angel from Doctor Who. And it's literally called the Weeping Angel Gym. Under its description, don't blink. And it gives part of the speech from Doctor Who. That's one of the weirdest ones I've seen. Yeah.
It's not a gym, though.
It's just a Pokestop, sorry. But yeah, there's weird gyms. The McDonald's is one in Orangeville, I'm pretty sure. And Super Burger are two of the weirder ones.
Like, it's actually the business?
Yeah.
See, those ones I would think probably paid for it or something in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, no, sorry. My wife is telling me it's a Moose or something.
At Superburger.
It's the Moose at Superburger. So if you're going up Highway 10, if you live in southern Ontario, there's a gym there.
One other one I saw, it's coming from, I think it was Mansfield towards Shelburne. There is a rock at this farm, and it has... painted the symbol for the milk cow painted on it, and it's actually a Pokestop, and it's like milk cow rock.
Milk cow rock.
I don't know what system they use to get the Pokestops in the gyms and all that, or if somebody literally drove around all of like the world and just chose random things.
From what I've heard, Pokemon Go is essentially just a reskin of another IP that Niantic released in the past, and essentially all the GPS points were predetermined for Pokemon Go based on that last IP.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because this isn't Niantic's first go.
I was going to say, go ahead.
I can't even remember what the game is called, but like...
I think it's called Ingress or something like that?
Yeah, Ingress, that's it, yeah. I've never played it personally, but this isn't their first run at it, you know what I mean? Like, they've done another augmented reality game. It's just now it's Pokemon themed, so it's blown up like crazy.
Yeah. So, I guess as we begin to close things out, what do you want to see come out of Pokemon Go next?
Trading.
Yes.
Please. Please, Niantic. Hear my plea. Do trading. That was one of the only fun parts. Also, I'd like a turn-based system to be in place where you select certain attacks, all that sort of stuff. I'd also like for you to be able to battle your friends. That'd be really cool. All three of those things. Hear me out. It'll make the game awesome.
I want some app integration with the device. I would like it to auto-catch Pokemon below a certain level. Like, let's say anything below CP100... it'll just auto-catch for you using regular Pokeballs, but it may not do one-to-one. It'll catch it anywhere between one and three Pokeballs. I'm okay with that because it allows you to build experience when you're constantly just walking around and you're still constantly playing. Or if you want to open your device and play, you have that option too. And I'm willing to pay for an option like that. It would be like the XP generator you get in Pokemon Red at some point, where it doubles your XP and it spreads it out amongst your team. I'd be willing to pay for something like that.
I mostly just want a better, like, the freaking tracking thing, the three footprints. I would like that to actually be... I want to be able to... Like, the other day I had a Dragonite was nearby, and I'm like, how the hell do I find this? I ran around the block and was, I don't understand how this thing works. I want a Dragonite, but it was gone, so whatever. That shit would be nice. I definitely do agree with being able to battle your friends in person. Maybe an online function, battling. I don't think trading on a good idea. Although, one thing that I had someone bring up to me trading, since trading is on the plate of what they want to have. I actually thought it was going to be in the game when it launched. It wasn't.
It was in the advertisements.
One of the scary things about trading is we are having all these things happening with robbery and stuff. How, like, into it that people are. You can see people getting mugged for the tradings in.
Yeah. Which, oh, absolutely.
It's sad to say, but... Yeah, like, people stealing accounts. There's people selling accounts.
Yep. There was one guy, he got locked out of his account, and he's a pretty big kind of YouTuber, and he's like, I got locked out of my account, so I don't want to go on eBay and buy a level 20 account. And someone came at him and said, people like you that are ruining Pokemon. I'm like, dude, I don't have the fucking time. I already put in all the time and money into it. I'd rather get what I paid for. So, I wouldn't do it. In fact, I was actually kind of worried. I got locked out of my account the other day, and I was thinking, am I going to have to redo this again? But with Pokemon, I don't really kind of mind.
Fun for the sake of fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's something so simple that requires no work or effort, really.
Well, I mean, if you want to get really high level.
Oh, yeah, if you want to get retarded high level, then yes. But
I'm on Facebook groups for it and all that, and they're, like, posting their levels and, like, how much more experience you need to level up at, like, level 24 and stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, do you guys, like, sit at the downtown hub all day, every day? I'm, like, level 16.
Oh, that's serious just... business, Jamie.
Apparently. Like, some people... That's, like, I love the original games and the... all the handheld game. But this thing is literally like, you need to go and exercise. And I saw this funny cartoon where it's basically the creators of this, like, of Pokemon, basically had this devious plan where it, like, it's like month one, you got all the nerds chasing Pokemon and they're all fat. And it's like, month two, they're all, like, getting buffer. Month three, like, they're like, oh, we need to climb this tree, and they're, like, getting super buff, and then month four, they're just, like, the creator shows up again, and he's like, now for my master plan, and he, like, sends all the nerds to beat people up, because they're all, like, super buff and shit. Yeah.
That's awesome.
If the best thing that has come from this game is all the ridiculous memes. If you know anything about the teams, like, even just a little bit, The memes making fun of Instinct are really funny. The memes of Valor and Mystic fighting are phenomenal. But then just some of the exercise stuff is really, really... Definitely check anything out on that. Again, if you're living under a rock, go try the game.
I think exercise. My favorite meme is listening to old people bitch about it.
I had one guy. I was out with my brother. We were by the lake. And he goes, oh, look. They don't even talk to each other anymore. I turn around and I'm like, yeah, thanks for the social commentary. Have you actually played this? Because I guarantee you wouldn't be talking to your wife right now.
It's amazing. There's one guy that I'm friends with. He's like, I don't understand it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? There's this great saying is, you do you. Just let people be happy. It's bringing people together. There's clearly... a good community for it. Yeah, there's been some bad things, but that's been with anything fun. It's just part of the territory. And I'm glad it's helping people. Like I said, Pokemon Go may help restore full functionality to my legs. So if that's a bad thing, in the immortal words of my generation, fuck y'all.
Well, it's also interesting that you guys were saying, like, older people don't understand it or aren't playing it. And that's not even true. All age groups are playing this. Like, there's grandparents, the elderly, that are even getting into this. They may not understand it. They may not even know what Pokemon is. But they're still enjoying it because it's getting them active. They're doing stuff with their grandkids, etc.
I actually heard that a grand majority of the audience is older folks. Like, folks that... in generations past, grew up with Pokemon, but are now much older. And then this new game comes out, everyone hops on it. Apparently, a grand majority of the audience for the game is between something like 17 and 24 or something like that. 26 or something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but, like, pretty old people.
Like 17.
Yeah, something like that. It's crazy when you think about it. Like, you wouldn't think for a second that people of that age group would be that into playing with a bunch of monsters and fighting shit, but hey,
Well, it's the game that it's not only the game that we grew up with, but it's the Pokemon set that most of us. So, like, when we open this app, we're not like, "Oh, I'm catching an ice cream cone." There is an ice cream cone in the newer generation Pokemon. Just saying. You're like, "I'm catching a Charmander, a Squirtle, Pikachu," all the things that we all remember.
The original 151.
Yeah, which actually I think it's only like 140 right now. I don't know where the other ones are.
On that topic, I'd like a more eclectic variety of Pokemon, and I'd like for new regions to be implemented into the game quicker than they're saying it's going to happen.
You want an ice cream cone, though.
I do really want an ice cream cone. You caught me.
I don't even know what its name is. I just know it's an ice cream cone. And its evolution is like three ice cream cones.
Oh, it's like a three scoop ice cream cone, like mint chip.
How does nature evolve that?
I don't know. There's also like a candle Pokemon that turns into a chandelier.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the most recent sets of Pokemon, like, I played X and Y, and I was just like, what the heck happened? Like, you went from, you had really weird monster animal things, to you went on some sort of acid trip when you were designing these, pointing at random objects and being like, that's a Pokemon.
That can be a Pokemon. Guys.
Just saying.
See this water bottle? Pokemon.
See that outlet over there? Outlandamon. Outlandamon.
Well, I'm trying to remember if I've seen Outlet Pokemon.
God. It would work.
All right, I've been Jamie JJ Justin. This has been Pokemon Go. Yeah. Sign out, guys.
Bye.